Good morning. Good morning. I heard you've been looking at Exodus, and today's reading is from Exodus chapter 18. We'll be looking at verses 17 to 27, and we've had a bit of an insight already. It's about Jethro, so there's a bit of a spoiler that's gone out already. So Exodus 18 from verses 17 to 27, and I'll read. Moses' father-in-law, that's Jethro, replied, "What you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them the decrees and laws and show them the way to live and the duties they are to perform. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain. And appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases, they can decide themselves. That will make your load lighter, because they will share it with you. If you do this, and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain, and all these people will go home satisfied." Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. He chose capable men from all Israel and made them leaders of the people, officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. They served as judges for the people at all times. The difficult cases they brought to Moses, but the simple ones they decided themselves. Then Moses sent his father-in-law on his way, and Jethro returned to his own country. I love the way that that passage finishes. And then Moses sent his father-in-law on his way. Like, enough now. Enough. Thank you. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for the assurance we have in your word that it will not return to you void. It will accomplish the purpose for which it is sent. Thank you, Father, for the assurance that your word will prosper wherever it goes. It will be fruitful wherever you send it. So, Lord, as we gather in your name, we ask, Lord, that your word will come and prosper in our lives, that your word will bear good fruit in our lives. And, Lord, the purpose for which you have given us this word today, that it will be accomplished. Lord Jesus, we open our ears and our hearts to you and you alone, that, Lord, the words that come out of my mouth, they will be from your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. Words that bring life, words that give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Quick survey. How many people love getting criticized? Quick survey. No? Anyone? How many people love getting criticized by the in-law? Quick survey. No? No? I won't say too much about that because I have my mother-in-law in the building. So I'll quickly move over from that one. But in the story, we see Jethro come down to visit his son-in-law. And the last time he's been with Moses, Moses was a fugitive looking after sheep, smelling of sheep. You know, he wasn't really up to much. And now Moses has been involved in this great work that God is doing. And they share some time in understanding what God has been doing in Moses' life. But then Jethro watches Moses in action and he sees that there are things that Moses could be doing better. And so he has the dreaded conversation. You know those conversations where you say, you know the way you're doing it is not great. You know those ones. But I think that there is a lot that we can learn and a lot that the Holy Spirit can teach us about Jethro's approach to that conversation and Moses' response. So we start with Jethro. One thing from Jethro and two things from Moses because I like Moses better. But in Jethro's case, Jethro's there and he has to have this conversation with Moses. I think Jethro applies a principle that I've come to believe is so important for us, which is that what he does is guided by what he wants to achieve. So what Jethro does and how he goes about doing it is guided by what he wants to achieve. I think sometimes, because life can be so fast-paced, that sometimes we just get on and do stuff without actually sitting back to think or reflect, why am I doing this? What do I want to achieve from it? Because actually, if we reflected on that and we thought, what is my end game to this thing I'm doing, it might change our approach to it. I think the best example we have is the example given to us by God himself. In that famous bit of scripture in John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that none will perish, but all come to eternal life." So what God wanted to accomplish was for no one to perish, but for everyone to come to eternal life. And that is why he came in the way that he came. That is why Jesus came to us as he did. That is why Jesus lived his life as he did. That is why Jesus died as he did. Because think about it in your own lives. What brought you to this place where you thought, maybe this God is someone I should trust. Maybe I should listen to him. Maybe I can depend on him. It was the cross, wasn't it? We thought, if someone loves me this much, that I should probably listen to what he has to say. And in the moments in our journey with Christ, when we begin to have doubts, when we begin to have fears, when we begin to question God's decision-making, because if we're honest, there are times when we do that, the thing that reconciles us back to trusting God is the cross again. It's, if someone loves me this much, I should probably trust in him. So what God wants to achieve in terms of no one perishing, all having eternal life, guides what he does. And it's a principle that God has applied from Genesis to Revelation. And so in Jethro's case, Jethro's heart is, I want to bring life to my son-in-law Moses. I want him to be able to carry out this work easy. And I want to bring life to the people of Israel as well. And so he kind of uses an approach that will get that message across. So if you see what Jethro is saying to Moses, there's a lot of, well, you know, if God commands it, or, you know, and if God blesses you, you know, and there will be godly men. So there's a lot of God in the conversation because he wants to keep Moses interested. He wants to keep him sweet. So you know, though, Moses, it's God, so I'm going to keep putting the God in there. And so Moses stays with the conversation. Because he could have easily gone like, you know what, Moses, I've been observing what you're doing, and to be honest, son, you're having a shocker. You're having a shocker here, Moses. You know, nobody's happy. The job is not getting done. Look at you. Look at the bags under your eye, Moses. Look at the state of you, Moses. And he would have still been making the same point, but I don't think that Moses would have probably listened to him. And I think in our journey, it's the same for us in terms of what we do. Also, the question is, What do we recognize as a successful outcome in the things that we do on a day-to-day basis, in the decisions that we make? What do we recognize as a successful outcome? You see, life gives us various measures of success, but as disciples of Jesus, we know that our calling is to be light and is to be salt. So God calls us to be light of the world, to bring his joy, to bring his goodness, to bring his hope to the world, to the space that we go into. We are called to carry on the work of Jesus. And what Jesus did was he brought healing to people's lives. So I think that for us, in terms of gauging whether an outcome is successful or not, it's more about, have I been light in this situation? Have I been light? Have I brought life to this situation? Have I brought God's joy there? Have I brought God's goodness to this situation? I know many times for myself, when I'm engaging in a conversation with someone else about Bible matters sometimes. And maybe, and by engaging, I probably mean arguing, to be fair. You know, this is church. No one's going to judge, right? So arguing about Bible matters, and it's about the old view versus the new view. And we're involved in this debate. And I come away from the debate, and I'm reflecting on the gospel later on. And then, you know, the Holy Spirit comes, and then he drops this breakthrough. You know those, you know, like when you're having a conversation and you say something and it just kills the argument. You know, one of those ones where you're like, yeah, argument is done, I've said it, I've won, you know. And when I'm reflecting later on with the Holy Spirit, he just drops that kind of insight there. And this happened a number of times, and afterwards I said to God, I said, Lord, why don't you give me this insight while I'm having the debate? Why wait till when I'm alone with you and then you get, it's not useful now, I can't win here, why don't you give it to me then? And I remember hearing his voice loud and clear. He said, it's because you're more interested in being right than being light. It's because you're more interested in winning an argument than in bringing life to the other person. And I think sometimes we can fall into the trap of being more interested in being right than in being light. And sometimes we can fall into the trap of being more interested in winning an argument and saying my way is the best way than in bringing God's way to a particular situation. And I think what we can learn from Jethro's life is that the priority always has to be to bring God's goodness and to bring God's life into any particular situation. That is a successful outcome. Success is obedience to God. Obedience to God is being light. And so from Jethro's side of things, that's one of the things we can learn. But what about Moses? So we're talking about the critiquer. What about the critiquee, the guy who's receiving this information? It's very interesting with Moses, because Moses is one of those people where I have God envy where they're concerned. I have a lot of God envy with Moses. See, Exodus 33:11, it says about Moses that God came and talked with Moses face to face as a man will talk to his friend. You know, that the cloud will settle over the tent to say God is in the building, only Moses is allowed. They'll sit out, they'll chill out, they'll have a conversation. And any time I read this bit of the Bible, I get a bit bitter. I get a bit like, but God, you know, what Moses got that I haven't got, you know? Why can't I have that? Moses had this deep relationship with God where he and God spoke constantly. And then his father-in-law shows up, Jethro, and says, Moses, you know what? The way that you are handling things is not the best way. There's a better way to handle things. I imagine that if I was in Moses' shoes, the temptation would be, you know what, Dad? I trust in your age and your wisdom, but I have a direct line to God. So, you know, if the way I was doing it isn't right, I'm sure God would have told me himself. You know, and there will be a temptation to do that. But I find it really interesting that in all the conversations that God had with Moses, as far as we know, God didn't pull him up on that. But God used someone else to speak to him on that matter. And I think there's a big case here for humility. Because one of the things that blocks our ability to hear God is pride. It's a sense in which we say, if God wants to speak to me, he has to speak to me in a particular way. Otherwise, it's not God. You know, there's that story about the guy who is about to drown, and then he cries up to the heaven and he asks for God to save him. Like, God save me, God save me. And then a helicopter comes along and says, come, jump on the helicopter. And he's like, nah, I'm waiting for God to save me. And then a boat comes along and says, come, jump. And he's like, nah, I'm waiting for God to save me. And then a lifeguard comes along and is like, no, I'm waiting for God to save me. And he drowns and he gets to heaven and he's like, God, I was crying out and asking for you to save me. And God is like, but I sent the helicopter and I sent the boat and I sent the lifeguard. Sometimes it's true for us as well. Sometimes we miss out on what God is trying to say to us because we're not listening properly. Or because we say, God, you have to work, you have to speak to me this way, or I'm not listening. But God speaks in various ways. Even in the Bible, there was a time that God spoke through a donkey. And that always gives me peace. Because I'm like, if God can speak through a donkey, he can speak through me. And Jesus said at one point that for the word of God to come to pass, even if stones had to speak, the stones would speak up. God can speak to us through our family and our friends. He can speak to us through children. He can speak to us through colleagues. We just need to be ready to listen. I always believe that when we come to God with hearts that are willing to hear him, that God will speak. Even if you have a very horrible preacher, my bad for anyone who's falling asleep, if you come to God with open hearts, you will hear him. And that's why I strongly believe humility is a big, big, important role of hearing God. Especially where you are at this point as a church, where you are seeking God's guidance for a new minister. It's important to listen to each other, as you've been saying, because you can hear the voice of God there. You know, there's that saying about the voice of the people is the voice of God. And while that is not always true, I mean, look at Brexit, but the reality is that we can hear God's voice, and of course we have to discern it. We have to pass everything through the filter of God's word. But it's important to keep our ears open. One of the stories I love from the Bible is where the king of Israel, King Ahab, and the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat, they want to go into battle together. Jehoshaphat is still a good guy. He still listens to God. Ahab, not so much. Jehoshaphat says to his mate, Ahab, can we not ask the prophets to come and tell us if we should go to war or not? And Ahab sends in all the prophets. And the prophets are all saying, yes, go to war. God will give you victory. Blah, blah, blah. You know, there's one is like bringing a horn and saying, through these horns, God is saying that he's going to smite your enemies. Another is breaking a chicken's neck and saying, this is how God is going to break your enemies' necks, like this chicken. You know, they're all saying, God is going to give you the victory. And Jehoshaphat says to him, is there not any other prophet of the Lord that we can ask? Ahab says, there is this one guy, but he never says anything good about me. So I'd rather not. And Jehoshaphat, like, let's have him. Let's just bring him here. The prophet Micah comes, and even on his way there, Ahab's servant is saying to him, look, mate, all the other prophets have said that the king is going to win. Just, you know, toe the party line, okay? And he arrives there, and they ask him, and he sarcastically says, yeah, of course, you'll win. But when they insist, he says, well, I saw a vision from God where a lying spirit was put into the other prophets to tell you you were going to win, but actually you're going to die in battle. And that's when one of the other prophets steps up, and he slaps Micaiah across the face, and he says, when did God stop speaking through me and start speaking through you? And sometimes there can be that arrogance that we say, oh, I've been a Christian for much longer than you have. Oh, I know the Bible much better than you do. Oh, I've been in the church for a longer time than you have. How do you get an opinion that I should listen to? But the key to hearing God is humility. And Moses shows that. When in spite of the strength of his relationship with God, he's willing to hear the words that come from Jethro. But another thing that Moses shows, which is something I think church in general can learn from, is that Moses is willing to change his approach. Someone said, and I've come to really believe that it's true, he said that one of the biggest obstacles to something new that God wants to do are those who are still stuck in the way that he did it before. Now, one of the biggest obstacles to something new that God wants to do is those that have been stuck in the way that he did it before. And it's true, because when you see what God did in the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when Jesus came. The reason that the Pharisees rejected him, or one of the reasons that they did, was because that was not what they expected as a Messiah. The way that God did it before was that he sent this judge. You know, he sent a Samson figure like Rambo, you know, who would come and who would smite their enemies. And even the prophets that he sent, you know, Elijah, when Elijah calls down fire from heaven, he doesn't stop there. He goes and he kills all the prophets of Baal. So he had this political leader who was like always ready for war. And even their most celebrated king, King David, he was a warrior as well. The reason why God told him he couldn't build a temple was because he had a lot of blood on his hands. So when the people thought, oh, God is going to send us a Messiah to save us from the Romans, they expected someone like Samson, someone like David, someone like Barabbas, who was more to what they were expecting. And so when Jesus shows up, even though everything that Jesus did and everything that Jesus said pointed to God, because it wasn't quite familiar, they weren't ready to get on board with that. But even God says in the book of Isaiah, he talks about the things that he's done for his people, and then he says, but forget all that. I am about to do something new. And Jeremiah declares about the Lord, he says, hope rises up within my heart when I think the steadfast love of our God never ceases. His mercy never comes to an end. They are new every morning. God is a God who doesn't rest on his laurels, but he's a God who's always doing something new, who always sees the need at a particular point in time, and he responds to it. You know, sometimes we're guilty of trying to put God in a box. It's like God must act in this way and at this time to this particular person. We put him in that box. But he's too great. He's too awesome. He's too wise. He's too amazing to be just put in a box. We can't be rigid when it comes to God. We have to be open to let God move in the way that God wants to move. Because if we cry out to God and we say, Lord, we want you to step into this conversation. We want you to step into this space. We want you to step into this situation. Then best be ready to let him step into it. Because sometimes the way that God moves is not necessarily the way that we expect him to move. But we have to trust that God is good, and God is love, and God is enough. And so Moses is not rigid with God. How can he be? He has experienced the greatness of God and the power of God. And so when Jethro comes and says there is a new way, there is a new approach, he's not too married to his way of doing things that he isn't open to changing. And sometimes God would come to us and he will challenge the way that we think, and he will challenge the way that we love, and he will challenge the way that we go about things. And our hearts have to be open to allow him to do that. We have to be open to let him out of that box of our idea of what God being God should look like, and just let God be God. So in this story of Moses and his father-in-law, I think that there are a lot of that we can learn for our practical day-to-day lives. We can learn that in our approach to one another, it should be in love and to bring life to each other. And to listen to one another. To be open to hearing God's voice in each other, and to know that we can't put God in a box. Let God be God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you because you are amazing. Father God, you are bigger and better than words can express. And I commit these words to you, Jehovah God, you who know the hearts and lives of everyone here. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that through your Holy Spirit, though they are ordinary words, that, Lord, you are able to do extraordinary even with the ordinary that we offer to you. So I pray, Lord Jesus, for the quiet work of your Holy Spirit in our lives. I pray that even now, Lord Jesus, that your Spirit is at work in our hearts, in our minds, accomplishing what you want to accomplish, Lord Jesus. I pray for healing for us in the journeys that we are on. I pray, Almighty God, that you will help us to hear your voice clearly. Lord Jesus, you've given us the assurance that your sheep hear your voice and they recognize you. And I pray that that will be the story for everyone in this room. That, Lord, we will hear your voice clearly and we will know that it is you. Father, give us hearts that trust. Father, give us hearts that are obedient. Lord, we give you all the glory and we give you this space. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.